It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We are recording this program on Thursday, March 5th at 10:38 in the morning. You're 8 minutes late. Why are you late?
Well, I had a stop on the way up, and I ran into the accountant for the city, and then there was a receptionist, and then there was something about green cakes out there that were moving, so I had to investigate all of that, and then get coffee.
I thought you were going to say you took Howard Avenue and it was closed, but that's just me. Good. Howard Avenue is open for the record, and they are still doing some work over there on infrastructure, but they know the importance of keeping that road open. And I want to welcome Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, Public Affairs Specialist for the City of Biloxi. Jump in.
Well, I was going to say you're talking about Howard Avenue and a road being closed, but there's work going on Howard Avenue with the Coast Community Bank being built. You're actually seeing work happening there.
I just went over and took some pictures of that, and it's really cool today because it's right there north of the People's Bank, and the men who are hanging the steel are high up above right now, putting the welding touches in, I guess, the rivets or whatever the steel people do. They're up at the very top of it doing that right now, and that's going to be a signature corner with the People's Bank on one side, the new community bank, and then you've got Elsie's Hardware over there with the witch high up above sitting on the crescent moon while holding a broom.
You know what you've got to do is get that drone, level it, and let it stop, and take a picture of those three or four corners from above.
I agree. That's good stuff. Cecilia, we've got Mardi Gras behind us. We had a great Neptune parade, which they're still talking about how many people were there. It's kind of like Donald Trump's inauguration. How many people were at the event? All that being said, we got through Neptune, we got through the Children's Parade, we got through Gulf Coast Carnival, all of them with a lot of revelry, and now we're at a lull. We don't have anything going on. Would this be true?
Never. It is never true. There's always so much going on.
Couldn't be that easy.
No.
What are some of the things?
Well, we have planning going on for, of course, we have a big Fred Hayes event coming up. That's in April, but tickets are set for sale online on the city's website and at the Biloxi Visitor Center. If you got the March issue of B News Monthly, or you can go on the city's website and check out the March issue of B News Monthly. We have a two-page spread about the event honoring Fred Hayes, which was an astronaut that I think you said he piloted Apollo 13, and he is a native of Biloxi.
Fred Hayes was one of the three astronauts who were aboard Apollo 13, which was scheduled to make a moon landing. We're talking about 1970. It was in April of 1970 when Apollo 13 took off. 9 hours into the mission, they had the famous thing is, Houston, we've got a problem. And it's been changed so many times. Houston, we have a problem. Anyway, what happened was there was a small explosion on the spacecraft. Now, you got to remember, this thing was traveling at no telling what speed, but it had been traveling for 9 hours headed to the moon, and then they have a problem. So this incident, which has been called NASA's most successful failure, this is something that captured the attention of the entire world. When you look back in the history of Biloxi and you see significant events, you see Camille, you see Katrina in our lifetime, you see the BP oil spill, you see the hurricanes even before they had names of hurricanes. So many things have happened in our past that I think this trumps everything. The reason I think that Fred Hayes' involvement, his involvement in Apollo 13, is such a significant event for our city because it was somebody who was born here in Biloxi, went to Biloxi Public Schools, went on to fame and everything that he did. And he was involved in something that captivated the entire world. I mean, more so than Katrina, more so than Camille, more so than BP, more so than anything. And to think that we right now have the opportunity to commemorate the 50th anniversary of such a big thing. Fred Hayes is one of only 24 people who have flown to the moon in the entire United States. I don't know, it may be the world, I have to go back and look. I'm certainly not gonna argue with the mayor over that because he knows numbers. The bottom line is we're having a Fred Hayes weekend, and the Fred Hayes weekend is gonna start on Friday, April 10th, We're going to have a banquet over at the Biloxi Civic Center. As Cecilia said, tickets are on sale now, $25 per person. Big question we're getting is, Fred Hayes going to be there? Heck yeah, Fred Hayes is going to be there. So that's April 10th. It's going to be a banquet at 6 o'clock over at the Civic Center. Then the next day, Saturday, April 11th, we're all going to gather south of the Biloxi Lighthouse, which is going to be the site of a statue that's being built right now, being created. And what we're going to do is we're going to dedicate what we're calling the launching pad, which is the bottom of a Saturn V rocket replica. It's not going to be an actual rocket, but it's going to be in the center of that parking lot south of the Biloxi Lighthouse. The ceremony is going to be Saturday, April 11th. What time does it start, Cecilia?
1:13.
Why does it start at 1:13? Because in military time, that would be what?
13:13.
13:13 is the actual time we're going to start the ceremony. It will be on that moment, 50 years to the day and 50 years to the hour that Apollo 13 took off on its mission that just, as I said, captured the attention of the entire world, showed how people can perform using their training, their intuitiveness to do a mission. You know, something that they practiced for a lot of stuff. And Fred Hayes told me yesterday that, you know, he said, I looked over at Jim Lovell, and both of us had the same thought. That
and who was
this,
that person,
Jim? Jim Lovell, who was a commander. What happened was, see, Cecilia's thrown me off now. He looked over at Jim Lovell, and they were both thinking, this is going to go on our record. That's what his thought was. Now, he has received all kinds of accolades. Sure. He said that the ones that are the greatest to him are the ones that come from his peers. The test pilots presented him award. He received a Presidential Medal of Freedom. He's received tons of accolades. But he told me, he said, you know, this one hits close to home. And I said, what do you mean hits close to home? It is home. So it's going to mean a lot to him, a lot of his classmates from Biloxi High. He also went to Perkinston. I don't know the deal on this, but I think he went to the University of Oklahoma, I believe, and I haven't talked to him about what happened there, you know, why he went up there. So the Fred Hayes thing is going to be a monumental event for this city, that we're going to be commemorating it.
Will there be a Q&A time with the man?
I think that Fred is going to give a presentation, and he's got a PowerPoint he already sent us. I haven't looked at it, but I think there should be a Q&A. That would be cool, a few minutes.
Don't you think that how many people, just what you've shared with us on this podcast, questions pop into your mind and that you want to ask the man. He was there. He's mm-hmm. done it. Been there and back. What was it like, et cetera? I mean, it's a wealth of information that he could share on both personal and technical levels.
I think so. And I think he's going to do a lot of that. But you're right. Somebody always has a question. We've been, surprised by the number of people who have called us who actually worked in the Apollo program live here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and has told us stories and even told us connections of other people that may want to be involved in this event and how they feel honored to have this event happening in Biloxi.
So the big thing is, since we know there's widespread appeal on this, we're putting tickets online if you want to buy them there, or you can go down to the Biloxi Visitor Center. The way you make all of this stuff happen is you click over to the city's website, biloxi.ms.us, and if you listen to this program, you're probably already there, biloxi.ms.us/Fred. F-R-E-D. Takes you right to a page that tells you what we're doing, when we're doing it, why we're doing it, and why you should be involved. Now, that's not till April, so get your tickets now. But we've got a few other things happening. The City Council had a pretty good meeting on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock.
They did. They had a good meeting, and talking about things that we're preparing for in the future, they had the King and Colleen of the Hibernia Marching Society attend the event. The mayor gave a proclamation where he proclaimed March as Irish Heritage Month, but all this leads up to the St. Patrick's Day of festivities, which includes a 5K run in the morning, the grilling on the green, which will be on the town green, and the parade, which starts at 2 o'clock on March the 14th.
Now, while we're talking about all of these things, please keep in mind that the business of the city is taking place on a daily basis. Right now, you can see the fencing up over at the Sanger Theater. Scaffolding is on the way. What's up with that, Cecilia?
Well, they've been working on it. Of course, the city of Biloxi, you know, has the money to start repairing the fly tower, which I believe we talked about this before, on the program, which is a tall, I'm not good at directions, the tall portion kind of to the back of the facility, but and that holds kind of all the mechanisms that for the stage. So there's issues with that, so they're going to repair that. But one of the holdup has been issues with, of course, it's been a long process because it is an old building. There had to be a lot of research, a lot of documentation, you know, to get it back to its historical standard after this work. And so all that went through, and then once all that was processed, then the city was able to gather up the money and go out for bids and have a contractor. The current holdup, though, had to do with the power lines that were running from the Sanger building to the connector, to the nearby buildings. So all that had to be relocated underground, which seemed to be a very large and long task. But all that, I believe, has been done, and outside work is about to be visual.
Yeah, the big thing on the outside work is you got to do that first before you go to look to replace any of that plaster inside of the building. Building, of course, has been closed for well over a year now, the Sanger Theater, but the city hears about it on a regular basis from people who want to use that Sanger. We understand, but the decision was made by the administration that the building engineers had told us it might not be safe to have people in here. Problem is you've got water infiltration, not just from the roof, but from the walls. Years and years and years ago, those walls, the exterior brick walls apparently were sandblasted, which took away some of the coating. So what we've seen happen over the years is it wasn't just the roof, the water was permeating through those bricks. As Cecilia said, you're talking about a very old building here, but it's a building that we want to have restored to its original glory.
And think about that. We're talking about the late 20s. Do the math, folks.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's not Fred Hayes 50 years. It's much longer than that. So I know some people want to send the Sanger to the moon, but we know how important it is right here in Biloxi where it is. So that's going to be a long and arduous process is what I'm afraid. They're looking at a 300-day contract just for the outside work. When's the theater going to open? Once this outside work is done, then I'm thinking it's going to be reassessed. Gulf Coast Symphony has been dying to get back in there. They're like the Shuckers when the Shuckers first opened their season and the stadium wasn't ready. They did a real long road trip. That's what Gulf Coast Symphony has been doing, and we apologize for that.
Yeah, and like I said, you were talking about the downtown building, and then we said the St. Patrick's Day Parade. We also have this weekend the First Friday event. It the Biloxi Main Street and kind of the merchants in the downtown Biloxi area put together this event where the merchants in the downtown Rural Magnolia area, they stay open after hours. So past 5 o'clock, they stay open. They run specials. Some have food. Main Street has giveaways. Gallery 782 has their 11th anniversary celebration. Again, that is this Friday, March the 6th from 5 to 8 p.m. It is free to attend the event. They have live entertainment. And it's just a fun little event to go to downtown. You know, at night they have the new lighting, the string lighting above. So it's a very nice atmosphere and a nice event to go to. And again, you get to go to the shops after hours. Maybe you're working during the day, but this is a fun event to get some food, you know, mingle, see some of the events, activities, and maybe win some prizes.
Community development, as we hopscotch all around on this program. One day we'll do an agenda. Community development, the folks over there are going to be meeting. They're talking about with the operators of the go-kart track up at Veterans and 90. Mm-hmm. They are looking to build a new go-kart track that will have an elevated portion to it, and they're looking to do that at the corner of Veterans and 90 on the east side. This is the old location of Gus Stevens. This is where Jane Mandy, right there. Now you know, huh?
Right. So famous Gus Stevens nightclub where everybody stopped by and everybody entertained. I mean, it was a real historical site, but I know that piece of land really, so they're going to expand.
Yes, they are. They're going to be going to the other side of the street with a huge go-kart track, and it's going to have the elevated portion. I think back to the one at Disney World is what I do, where it's got the elevated portion, et cetera.
And wasn't there one time in Biloxi they ran some kind of a national, I don't think it was international, but national competition of those little, I call them midget racers kind of thing, which brought a whole, this has gone back a number of years after they had opened because the track was such a quality and it was very professional. Something about the professionalism or the that they had done their homework that made it a real
Pro Track.
You're right. And they just had that the other day at the one right down the street there. They had the what we call the NASCAR of the go-karts.
Right,
you know,
right.
they were over there as part of the circuit. It was just in town just here the other day. The circuit travels from the cities that were on it were Las Vegas, Dallas, Orlando, and I know Biloxi was on it as well, and there may have been other cities, but you're right. This is part of that family allure that we want to have where we're just not about casinos. Mm-hmm. Cecilia, the other thing that came up in the city council meeting was how the Shuckers are getting ready to start their season, but we've got some things coming up at MGM Park pretty quickly.
Yeah, on March the 10th and 11th, Mississippi State is going to play at the MGM Park.
Games, and it's Mississippi State has a storied baseball program. And as college baseball programs go, this is one when you have an opportunity, you want to get out and see it. We've got two games coming up over here at MGM Park. It's going to be called the Hancock Whitney Classic. And what we're excited about there is it's 2 days of baseball. Mississippi State and Texas Tech are going to be playing on March 10th at 6 o'clock and March 11th at 5 o'clock. Now, each of these teams has reached a College World Series in back-to-back seasons. So when we tell you this is quality baseball, this is what you want to see.
Well, if you're interested in the game, go to the Biloxi Shucker website or go to the City of Biloxi website, and you can get some information.
Yeah, you can go ahead and buy tickets now. The other thing that we certainly would be remiss if we didn't mention, one of the big issues at the Biloxi City Council meeting was this: the prospect of funding Coast Transit at its 100% request. The issue there is that the City Council gave, I think it was about 88% of the request, somewhere in that neighborhood. So they told Coast Transit at the time, come back in 6 months and we will see what kind of position we're in. Well, now Coast Transit's here. And so what they're looking to do is to get fully funded. It's $45,000, but the $45,000 is tied to $235,000 in federal money. So if they don't get the $45,000, they lose the $235,000 as well. Now you could look and say, well, that's their problem. They should manage their money better. What they're doing is they're doing exactly what they were told to do. They needed X amount of dollars to operate Coast Transit in Biloxi. We're not talking about funding the entire system, just for what they do in Biloxi. They said, here's what it costs. City Council said, well, we can do this right now, come back in 6 months. And so now, if they don't get the money, one of the things that they're going to have to do is they're going to have to limit the Beachcomber line. The Beachcomber line is the one that runs all along the beach there, which is why it's called the Beachcomber line, by the way, William. So that carries
6 days to 2 days.
It's going to go from 6 days to two. So that's going to be a big cutback there.
Yeah.
And it's not just about visitors.
You've got tourism here, Vincent. We can't have that cutback.
Well, I think the council's going to look at all the issues, and they're going to come down, and they're going to make the best decision. It's not just people who are visitors. It's people who have no other way to get to the grocery store, to anything. But this is just one of the issues that the city council has to look at. You look at things like the public libraries, which are here to get $23,000 so that they can finish upgrading the computers at the Biloxi libraries. They're operating, I think, Windows 7 right now. They need to convert to Windows 10 because Windows 7 is not going to be, you're not going to have the connectivity here soon. So they came to the city back in the budget time, and they said, we need this much money. And the city council was able to give them that minus $23,000, which is what they say they need now, to finish the project. These are not new funding requests. These are funding requests that go back to the budget hearings that were held, 6 months ago. So it's a difficult decision because you're looking at libraries, you're looking at public transit, but they also have to think about John Doe citizen that wants his street paved. They have to think about the potholes. They have to think about the police officers, the firefighters, the entire budget is what they have to think about, and I get that. But it's usually a very spirited debate when you're talking about public transit, and it was Tuesday, and Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, I know you have something to say, but you filmed that meeting, did you not?
I did film the meeting, as I do all council meetings, and put it on the City of Biloxi's website on the YouTube page. You can click on the top right, click on YouTube, go to City Council, and you can watch all the meetings. But it's also put on the Biloxi BTV channel, which you can get if you have Sparklight or UVerse or Office City's website. And those air at 9 a.m. in the morning, 9 p.m. at night, and 3 p.m. in the afternoon each day. And this, the meeting, as soon as the meeting happens, we try to make sure it is up that night for 9 p.m. Now, back to what Vincent was saying about the CTA, what they had decided is they decided to table the item of funding, and they're going to have a small workshop on March the 17th before their regular scheduled meeting. And you can get that information for the times and the date on the city's website as well.
I want to say they said they were going to do it either at 11 or noon, but it's right there on the city's website if you go look at it. It's a big issue, but unfortunately for the city council, or fortunately for the city council, all of the issues they look at big or that look at are big for somebody. Mayor Holloway used to always say that. Whatever decision you make, it's going to affect somebody. You know, and you can't, you got to look at the overall good. You can't look at what it does for this person or that person. He used to always say that. But, you know, when it gets down to the where the rubber meets the road and you're looking that person in the eye, that's when it takes a lot of fortitude. And that's what they were elected to do, and I think that's what they're going to do. How's that for walking that line, Cecilia?
Sounds good. And as always, everything that we talked about today, you can get on the city's website at biloxi.ms.us.
Tell us a good story, William.
Well, remember, trains are coming. The trains are a-coming. You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall Biloxi with your host, Public Affairs Manager, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.